Hello, and welcome to Getting to Know Your Friends. I'm Zach Rowland, your host, and tonight, my friend Maggie Cargill. Whoa. Yeah!
Yeah!
All right. Yeah, thanks for coming, Maggie.
Thanks.
You're
thanks
back.
For having me. I am.
You're like McRib. You're back.
By popular demand.
By popular demand.
I am.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. For those of you who don't know Maggie, she left the United States of America to travel to New Zealand and explore and do fun things. And
yeah.
I'm going to ask you thousands of questions about the Hobbit lore that's there, because I'm a super nerd.
Yes.
And that's what I do. But to get us started off, Maggie, tell us about you, where you come from. Let's start with the beginning. Where? Hometown.
Okay. Well, I was born in Ohio, actually.
Really?
Yes. I lived there for 5 whole days.
5 days. What city?
Dayton.
Dayton. I almost said Dayton. It like came out. Like, it's so immediate. Like, it's either Dayton or Columbus. Everything's Dayton.
That's
or
so
Columbus.
Funny. Yeah, no, yeah. I root for them, like, in college.
Good.
I'm like, yeah, go Dayton.
Good.
Yep, and then I was actually adopted, and mm-hmm. my parents lived in Chicago, and so we went home-ish mm-hmm. of suburbs. Not actually Chicago. Chicago suburbs.
Sure.
Lived there till I was about 8, and then I moved up to Overland Park. Here
okay.
in the Kansas City area.
Yep, on the Kansas side.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. And I've been here ever since.
Cool.
Yeah.
So in that time, did you skip around a lot to schools, or did you stay, like, you had a pretty steady school structure?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No, I went to the elementary school down the street, the middle school down the street, the high school down the street.
Okay.
It was all, you know, same friends, same, pretty, you know, typical, nothing too exciting.
Right, and that was all in Chicago?
Or
was that something
that was
here?
Most of it, I moved here when I was 8.
Oh, okay.
So
sorry.
Most of that was
yeah.
was here.
Yeah.
Yep.
Why well, I totally
that's okay.
missed out.
That's okay.
8. The timelines are reaching out.
Listen.
I know, right? so terrible. All right. So so where did you go to high school then?
I went to Blue Valley North.
Blue Valley North.
Blue Valley North.
Interesting, because I was a Shawnee Mission kid.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so...
Are we gonna have a problem?
I was Shawnee Mission North, to be specific.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
At least you weren't, like, East.
No,
that's
no, we
fine.
Weren't.
That's okay.
We were not
that's
as pretentious
fine.
As East. The Lancers. Ugh, those guys. Yeah, cool. So what did you do in high school? Like, what activities?
Well, I did mostly theater stuff. My parents did say, you have to get a job. And, of course, at the time, I was like, okay, Mom. So I got a job at a vet clinic, and I worked there 3 days a week after school, and I also did theater. I wanted to audition for things, but the way that the theater program was mm-hmm. worked out was that I could do theater stuff, but I had to do tech. I couldn't be in the shows because the rehearsals were every single day.
Yeah.
And so I ended up doing a lot of tech. I ended up stage managing my senior year,
yeah.
You know, learned carpentry skills, lighting, all that good stuff.
Wow.
And that's high school also is where I ended up beginning with my improv career.
Cool.
As well, yeah.
Excellent. Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really cool to see that, like, there's an improv presence in the Kansas City public schools, especially on that side of it, with mm-hmm. Blue Valley and Shawnee Mission, Olathe. I know all of them. Their drama teachers teach some form of improv. Did you learn short form or long form?
Short form. Definitely. We
yeah.
didn't really have much in the way of coaching. We did have, you know, our drama teachers like, yep, you guys can do this,
mm-hmm.
But it wasn't really on the top of his list, and
mm-hmm.
so we did our own thing. We actually were fortunate enough to have Trish Barong
yeah.
come in and coach us every so often.
Cool.
But it, you know, it, mostly it was us just kind of figuring
yeah.
out on our own.
Yeah, and so for those people who don't know, Trish Barong is kind of like a staple in the Kansas City improv scene. She got to work with a lot of really great people back in the early days of the Kansas City Improv Festival, and she's a wealth of knowledge.
Oh, she's awesome.
Yeah, you know, a ball of joy, and she likes to spread that education,
oh,
and
yeah.
I think that's great, because we wouldn't be inspired to do what we do, right?
Here, yeah, absolutely.
Without those kind of people just giving us their time, you know, and a lot of it's volunteer,
mm-hmm.
you know,
oh, yeah.
they don't really get
oh, yeah.
paid. I've done a lot of volunteer work with high school students, and they really appreciate that, and it gives them that drive to do it. So
yeah.
that's great. So that gave you that drive.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, she was actually the reason I wanted to continue with it, because I worked with her at the state thespian conferences
yeah.
in high school, and I was like, this lady's pretty cool. Maybe I should keep doing this.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, I was like, yes.
As Del would say, follow the fear.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep. Oh, yep.
Yeah. Cool. So, what then next? You went to KU, right?
I did.
That's
go right. to KU.
Oh, but now we're going to get into some good stories.
Oh, no, we're not.
Oh, boy. I've got stories for days from KU. No, and we didn't really even, like, hang out that much, but we...
Didn't we? Were you there when I was there?
A little bit. There was a slight crossover.
I didn't know.
And I think it was very small because I was there for 6 years.
Okay.
I went to KU for 6 years throughout the 2000s. So I was like,
what years were you there?
Let's see. I think I was there from 02 to 08.
Oh, okay. See, I was there 07 to 11.
Yeah.
So it would have been like that. Yeah. A little
right crossover. Yeah. But yeah, we'll get there. So so what did you go to school for?
I majored in anthropology.
Mm-hmm.
I started out pre-vet. That was hard.
Yeah.
And I wasn't ready for it. I just really wasn't.
Yeah.
Like, I should have stayed home, gone to communities, college, done my prereq or something. I don't
Me
know.
Too.
I wasn't ready for it. And so I didn't do as well as I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And I switched to anthropology because I was still interested in it. And I really liked it.
Cool.
But it was a lot easier than calculus.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, because you get to study people and culture.
Yeah. And I wanted to take that and do maybe like forensic pathology or something like, you know, become bones, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, again, that didn't quite work out. But that's okay. I've got new prospects for the future.
The best laid plans, right?
Oh, right.
yeah. Okay, cool. So then, so you're there, and you're doing your stuff. And then, lo and behold, what brings you to the improv there? Like, what was the... Tell us the story. Like, what led up to everything that I know of as what became Girlpop?
Oh, okay, all right. So, I went in the very first, it was the very first semester, and it was right before school. They do, I can't remember what it's called, but it's the theater thing, where you get together before school starts, you go through, you get all the information about auditions, you take a tour. And so I went up there, and my theater buddy, they have like current students take in the freshmen and like show them around, and he was in the group Stitch Tactics, which was the improv troupe at the time. I know there have been some previously. I don't know if there are at the moment.
I think, I recall Stitch Tactics being there as well. We had a couple of interactions. Because I tried to start up an improv troupe when I first got to KU in 2002. And then somewhere along the lines, then Stitch Tactics formed. And I was like, where did they come from?
Like, hang on. Yeah.
But they're a good group of guys.
Oh.
And gals.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Oh. Bless them.
Yeah.
They were my reason for staying there at KU.
Awesome.
Because I was, like I said, having such a hard time. But they were, I was like, these people are my friends, and this is awesome.
Yes.
And so I was wearing, actually, my t-shirt from my high school troupe. I was like, I guess I'll wear this. Maybe I'll, you know, be a conversation piece. And he was like, hey, this is an improv. I do an improv thing. You should come to the improv thing. And it was just, you know, just went from there.
Right.
I was terrified, and I thought, oh, I'll just go once, and maybe we'll see. I don't know if I like it. And I just... made myself go, and I started off pretty rough.
As we all do.
But,
you know.
We played Yes and it just slowly, not slowly, quickly became No But.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It's so hard
to
think about
that. Big, failure.
Yeah. And think about the age you're at, too, when you're kind of developing your own sensibility about the world. Because in high school, I mean, let's face it, guys, in high school, we're not really... We don't know who we are.
No.
Like, I went through so many phases in high school, I can't count. But in college, I really started to develop a mindset of what the world was and how I felt about it. And so you get into that place where it's like, okay, we're going to do this fun thing. It's all made up.
Yeah.
And we'd like for you to just say the words yes and.
Ugh.
And yeah. And you're like, what? Wait, I got to agree to something and then add information to it?
Like, whoa, this is hard.
Excuse me.
And he was just like, okay, let's try this again. Like, I was so embarrassed. I'm like, oh,
do you remember who this was?
I think it was Jordy Altman.
Okay.
Who told me, said, okay, let's try it again.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I failed everyone. I'm terrible at this. This is the worst thing I've ever done. I've been doing this for 2 years already, and I can't handle it.
Yeah.
But I stuck with it, and I'm, oof.
Good.
Boy, yeah.
Good.
I don't know.
You've got to, yeah.
And worked really hard.
Yeah,
that's what
it keeps you focused on something that you want to get better at. Because I don't know, for me, it was like that moment where I got that taste of people laughing at me, but like because I was coming up with stuff like in the moment, spontaneously.
Yeah,
and, I don't know. It felt so good.
Like once
so
you like, figure out, you're like, okay.
Mm-hmm. You stick with it. Cool, so you were doing stuff with... Now, were you in Stitch Tactics, or were you just, like, working with them, or Jordy?
I can't remember. I don't think there was, like, an official, like, you're in or out.
Yeah.
It was just, not like, you know, if you want to know, you in just, or out. You're like, you're just there, I guess. Like, if you want to pay for a t-shirt, then I guess you're in. And if you're in the shows, I guess you're in. There was nothing, like, official about it. It was just whoever shows up to rehearsal gets to be in the shows, and that's just kind of how it went.
I would have paid for a t-shirt. I would have been in. I would have totally done that. I would have paid for a t-shirt.
I've got two different t-shirts. Nice. I'm in twice.
That's funny, though, because Hype 7 was the group that I ended up being in first from KU. And I paid for a t-shirt. And got it. I had to audition to get in, but I went and played short form games, and they were like, cool, you're funny, you're in.
We didn't audition. I mean, it was sort of like, whoever wants to play and learn, come play and learn. And, you know, there are people that... that stayed, like I didn't, stay through the whole 4 years or six or whatever.
Yeah.
Five. Some, I know people who were in for 5 years. Mm-hmm. And there are people that came every so often. There are people that came consistently for a semester and we never saw them again. And that was just kind of the way it was. And that's all right. That's okay, you know?
Well, yeah, it's college, you know? Yeah. I mean, that's the whole point, is that you're supposed to experiment and explore and find yourself out. And, you know, you do this thing or that thing or that thing, and eventually it all just... it figures itself out.
Yeah.
That's where you go.
Exactly.
Awesome. Okay, so then you went from then Stitch Tactics to Girl Prof?
Girl Prof.
Yeah. Can you tell us...
yes. That's what. That's why I'm here. That's what everyone wants to hear about.
Well, I'm not saying everyone wants to hear about it. I know I want to hear about it, because it was a good time for it. Like, I mean...
it was great.
You guys had a serious thing going on. I mean, a seriously good thing. People were all up into that. And in a great way. Like, it was funny. You guys were lively. I want to know, like, so who were the original members of Girl Pop? Yeah.
Okay, so it was me, Jackie Kester, Demi Potter, who's in Chicago now.
Cool.
Jackie is living in Spain at the moment. I know, right? Let's see, who else? Me, Demi, Jackie, I think Anna Smith, I think. Havana Mahoney and Brittany Barney. We were the original six.
Okay.
Yes.
Cool. And then it shifted and changed throughout time.
Yeah,
I think I saw that original six.
I think Anna was in the original six. I think she was.
Where does Julie fall?
Julie! Not Anna, Julie.
Okay, that's what I thought too. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I love you, Anna.
Yeah. Anna's great, Julie's great. All of you guys. They were really funny. Yep. Everybody was so fun. Okay, so then.
Yeah.
Then where, I think, I saw your first, one of your first shows, I don't know, did you do it at KU, or was it at...
I think our very, very, very first show ever was at the Barrel House in Lawrence, and we had been asked to fill a 3-hour slot with improv.
Whoa.
Yeah. We did it, and it didn't really, we didn't like it very much.
Oh.
It was Stitch Tactics. We did like an hour of Stitch Tactics. We had an intermission, and we did like 20-minute set of Girl Prop, and that was our first show. Mm-hmm. And then we did more Stitch Tactics, and like some of the kids in the group got way too drunk because there were like 20 of us.
Sure.
And there were people who were there for the show and people who weren't there for the show and didn't know there was a show, and they wouldn't shut up. And it was just, it was a bad venue.
Yeah.
Like, it just, like, it was great, you know, dueling pianos, that's awesome, but it didn't quite work with improv because the space was so big, and we had two microphones for like 20 people.
Yeah.
And it was hard, and we just, it just didn't quite work out. So we did not go back, but, you know, we did it, and we gave it a shot, so.
Yeah. Cool, yeah. No, I didn't see that one. I think I'd seen something else. You guys were either in, like, a festival or a showcase of some sort. Somewhere I had seen you guys early on.
Yeah.
Because there were six of you,
I
remember.
We did a few at the Fish Tank, and we did a few, I think, at the Granada
as well. Oh, yeah, I think I did see one in the Granada as well. Yep. Yeah, cool. Okay, so then you did Girl Prof, and then it shifted and changed, and people came and went,
and just depending on, you know, school,
and
like I said, Demi went to Chicago, and all kinds of stuff. And,
excellent. Okay, until the point where then you decided to leave the country.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you fled. You were just like, adios, amigos.
See ya.
I'm gone.
Well, I mean, Girl Prof had kind of, you know, people decided, you know, they kind of went their separate ways before I left. And so I was doing a little bit with Stitch Tactics, not heaps. Mm-hmm. And then I went to New Zealand.
Yeah. So what drove you there? What drove you there? Because let's face it,
plane,
guys.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. touche, salesman. Touche.
The pilot,
of course. Come on, guys. Get real. All right. Now, what? But what, not mode of transportation. Yeah. Why did you go to New Zealand?
Well, I was dating a guy at the time, and I'd met him in the States, and we dated for a while, and he's from New Zealand, and then he went back, and we were long distance, and blah, 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 mm-hmm. And then he was like, you should come here, and I was like, okay. So, but long story short.
Nice. So you went for a boy.
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
How'd it work out?
We're not together.
Okay.
But that's okay.
Okay.
You know, we're still friends.
Yeah.
And that's all right.
All right. But it took you to a whole nother land.
Yes.
And so I got to know, tell me about it. Like, what did you discover? What did you find? What are the people like? What's going on there?
Everything.
Yeah.
I mean, the people
are
lovely.
Yeah.
Just lovely. And I mean that in like, you know, some people say, oh, he's nice, and that doesn't mean anything.
Yes.
But, like, they're genuinely like, oh, my God, you guys are great. And I most of my friend base there was in the improv community, and mm-hmm. this was sort of true of most everybody I met.
Mm-hmm.
It was really welcoming, really open, like, hello, yes, come here. Mm-hmm. You know, big open arms sort of thing.
Awesome.
There were a lot of people there who weren't Kiwis, so there were a lot of English people, Scottish, you know, I met a few Irish
mm-hmm.
people.
Very diverse.
Yeah, it was really diverse.
It was a really cool island.
It was cool.
Yeah, well, both of them.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, there are two.
Yes.
Well, two main ones and then several smaller ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. But so you did improv there as well.
I did.
And what was, you say it's, they call it?
Impro.
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 They just killed the V.
They sure did.
Why?
I think, and I don't know, but my theory is, because they're very, very Keith Johnstone inspired.
Oh.
And his book is called Impro.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if that's right.
I don't know.
Well, I never asked.
We'll have to, Google it.
I could probably find somebody on Facebook right
ask
now.
Ask Keith Johnstone. Keith, can you give us a little help
somebody
here?
Let me know. I don't really know. That's my guess, though.
Yeah.
So it's
cool.
Impro.
So was it similar? What were the same things? Like, what were they teaching you there?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's all a means to a similar end, entertain the audience. It was very much focused on storytelling and narrative, which is a lot different to what the UCB guys do with game.
Definitely.
The storytelling, I actually took an entire 8-week class just on storytelling for improv. And then we did, like, a long-form class, which also focused a lot on the storytelling and, you know, creating a platform, really establishing those characters, the environment, all this stuff. And then there's a tilt in the scene, sort of like the why are we watching the scene moment. And then the conclusion and all this stuff. And it was very, I don't know, I don't want to say long and drawn out because that's not what I mean. But it was just very, very structured and put together. And like you have to think of this, that, and the other to create this whole narrative arc, which a lot of times created these really beautiful, sort of slow moving yet still very entertaining, you know, still hilarious, but just sort of slow, beautiful, like poetic scenes that were really like deep and just human, like you were watching like a real, like just, it was great.
Yeah,
it was beautiful.
It's very theatrical.
Yes,
that's what I love about that. Is that, you know, like you get to what I've come to find is it's really the truth in it. You know, like what is the truth of this?
Yeah.
Why are we so affected and touched by this? And you get to watch that magic happen and unfold.
Yeah.
And I love storytelling. I tell stories. You know, in that way. Mm-hmm. And then so the narrative of everything and. And sometimes it does get difficult when you're trying to differentiate between, like, the comedy of the game and, like, the comedy of the of real life.
You
know, there's all
the
these different ways.
Characters and relationships and the...
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I was just getting chills just when we were talking about it just now.
Yeah, it's really fun.
But it's just so, like, just deep and human and just, I don't know, I really...
Yeah.
I loved watching it and I loved being a part of it.
Yeah. That's awesome. And so, and just to kind of like jump off on that real quick.
Yeah.
So we, you and I, before we started, talked briefly about Jimmy Corain.
Yeah.
And Jimmy being in Chicago and teaching that slow play style. What about that, besides everything that you described, what about that really fits your personal playing style? What about that do you really enjoy? Like, how do you find yourself being enthralled into that and wanting to do it more?
Mm. Well, I think I really enjoy just acting in general, and I think that kind of gives me an outlet to really to be more into my characters and really have a connection with my, like, a deep personal connection with the scene partner. And, and that kind of connection where you end the scene and you're just like, whoa, I have to go shake this off.
I love that.
Oh, gosh. Oh. And that's a lot. There's a lot of that. I mean, there was a lot of, you know, play the game and the quick and the fast and the funny.
Mm-hmm.
But there was definitely, you know, big emphasis on the slow storytelling, which I,
yeah. That's so great.
Yeah.
Cool. Did you do any shows down there?
I did.
Awesome. How was that?
I did a lot of shows. It was so fun.
Yeah.
They do, in addition to, like, the slow, you know, storytelling long form, they also do a lot of short form
mm-hmm.
as well. Keith Johnstone has a couple of formats, the Maestro and mm-hmm. the Gorilla.
Yeah.
And the Maestro is like a short form show, and nobody's on a team or anything, but you get numbers, and they call it the numbers. And
those numbers play together.
Oh, how do you?
In Austin.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm not the only one who knows what it is.
I know Maestro. I've been in it.
Boy. And
I
then
loved it. It was fun.
Yeah. And they eliminate people as you go, and you end up with a winner at the end of the night. And mm-hmm. it's just this, it was described to me as a great big conspiracy to have the audience have fun.
So much fun.
So great.
Yeah. It's almost, my reference to it is really, it's almost like this moment where you have to choose to play a persona in the external frame of the show.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, like, if you're just kind of a stand back person and nobody knows you, then you don't get any of that attention that people don't vote for you. You know, because they're voting for the people that they like or hate. It's like one of the two.
Yeah.
You know? And I realized that the more I watched it, I was like, man, it'd be great to be bad guy wrestler right here, you know? Like, and I could see the veterans, the people who had done this show before or had been in Austin for a while that mm-hmm. knew it, like how they played that out. And it was so fun.
It's
and
like
inspiring.
A show within a show.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it is.
And us theater geeks, we love it when it gets super complex and deep
and like
that.
Real,
you're just
like
layers.
Yes! Ah!
Yeah.
It was fun. So I did several of those.
Cool.
Yeah, they had, did one of those in, I don't, can't remember if it was the Improv Festival. Or they had, like, a little mini, like, festival around Christmas. They called it a Christmas cracker.
Yeah.
Like, the little things that you pull.
Oh, cool.
For our American friends.
Yeah, right? Yeah. We have no idea what the traditions of Christmas are like in New Zealand. So, yeah.
It was hot and sunny.
Hot and sunny.
Beautiful.
When it comes to any other cultures, we just shut it down, guys. That's it. No more. So you had a little Christmas crack.
Yeah, we did that. And then I also got to play in... So I did, you know, a few shows here and there. I produced my own shows. I did sort of like a... I called it Stitch Tactics style. So it wasn't mm-hmm. like, guys, this is a Chicago American style. It was like, this is what I know how to do, so let's do it.
Yeah.
Kind of style. So I produced a couple of shows, short form shows. And then I also was a part of an improvised soap opera.
Cool.
Ugh. Oh, my God. Let me tell you about this.
Yes.
It was 8 weeks, and you had just episodes of the soap opera over 8 weeks, and the same characters came back. And so you were playing the same character for 8 weeks. And I was a guest, so I did 2 episodes. And, oh, wow. I want to do one here in the States.
Nice.
Oh, my gosh. I loved it so much.
Yeah.
And it was definitely that storytelling narrative sort of thing was sort of the spine of the whole experience. We were set in New Zealand, a small town in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
And I played a woman named Amelia Armstrong. And I was a tourist. And then it turned out that I had killed someone in America.
Ooh.
So I fled to New Zealand to escape the law.
And
I got a little crazy. I ended up holding someone at knife point.
Maggie, are you really revealing why you left America?
I wouldn't be here if that's true.
You came in all like, the cops are after me. I was like, what are you talking about? You're afraid to be back in America? No, this sounds great.
It was so cool. It was so much fun. And I just, my character, there was a moment where it was either my character was the crazy one, or his character was the sort of evil one. And I was like, well, I'll just be like, yeah, okay, I did it. You know, yes, and sure, why not?
Yeah.
And then it just went from there.
Oh, boy.
So, oh my gosh,
cool.
It was so fun.
Yeah. And so it was like that run then. You had 8 weeks.
Yeah.
And then it was like the episode, or the show was over, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that was it. And then did it come back for a season two?
They do. Well, that was the 7th season, I think.
Oh, wow.
So
they were already like,
yeah. Oh,
you
yeah,
even,
huh?
Oh, wow. You just kind of plopped
like,
yourself.
What's up, guys?
Just right
back. Yeah.
Soap opera would be, really.
Right.
Popping in and popping out. Everybody's
pretty much.
Dying.
That's what
so.
I did.
That's
awesome. It was great. Yeah, I think that was the seventh one.
Cool.
They've done it, you know, years previous.
Oh, wow. So, that's so great. I love to hear that there's other troops out there and people that are just doing fun things.
Yeah.
Just makes them happy.
Just like, fun things. There was a lot of, like, genre work, like, specifically, like, a Jane Austen improvised show.
Beautiful.
A Doctor Who improvised show, which was so good.
Those were both at CIF. They did a couple of those this year.
There you go.
It's fun to watch those. So I saw cool. Batman, this whole Batman improv thing down in Austin, you know?
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. It was just, I mean, there's so many different places to explore that you don't really realize when you're just doing sort of like, I don't want to call it plain improv because it's never plain. It's always awesome.
Right.
But just, you know, you're just a short form show, a living room short form show. But there's so much more when you add that layer of, you know, this, that, or the other to it.
Yeah.
There's so many more places to go.
I'm on a... Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to
cut you off.
I'm on a Herald team that's doing stuff like that where we're just learning like straight improv to like get it down or whatever.
Yeah.
But then we've talked about layering on something else, some sort of genre, to make it more intense. And like I did a move the other day where I did something where it was like film noir.
Oh, yeah.
Because film noir had come up in the prior scene. And I was like, let's pull this and make it film noir genre, you know? And,
yeah.
And it kind of worked, but eventually, you know, kind of it fizzled out because it was a standalone scene. So it didn't get the chance to like grow and build off of that genre. But when you put the whole thing together, it's so much fun.
It's so cool. So cool.
Awesome. Cool. Yes. So then, all right, so you're down there, you're doing that thing. Were you working while you were down there?
Yeah, I was temping.
Okay.
And I made big bucks.
Really? Wow. Yeah.
Surprisingly, yeah.
What's cost of living like?
It's, I paid $100 a week for the place where I was staying, and I was staying with my boyfriend and then two other flatmates who are fantastic. Fantastic. I love them. So I was paying $100 a week splitting the room with my boyfriend. So, I mean, that was... It was kind of, in terms of the minimum wage plus the cost of living, it was really equivalent to here.
Wow.
Honestly, it wasn't too awfully...
That's good.
...ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good to kind of have a good basis of that, and you're comfortable with it, and you can deal with it.
Yeah.
Awesome. So you moved back.
Yep.
Because things didn't work out.
That's all right.
That's okay.
I'm here.
So now you're back.
Yeah, part of that, too, was I wanted to go to vet tech school.
Mm-hmm.
So I...
Were you finally ready for it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You see that earlier.
Yes, I did. I know.
I was listening. I was listening.
There you go. Yeah. No, yeah. I'm going to school in the fall, so I'm stoked.
Where are you going?
I'm going to Metropolitan Community College.
Good college.
The Maple Woods campus.
Yes, that's where my brother went.
Hey, Maple Woods.
Yeah.
So oh my God, I'm so excited.
Great. Yeah. Yes. And so in the meantime, what are you doing like job-wise? I mean, what's happening right now?
I'm working at Noodles and Company.
Ooh, I love Noodles and Company.
Flinging some pesto around.
I love it.
I know.
It's so good. Did they recently change up their menu?
Yes, and everybody who comes in who haven't been in there a while are like, oh my God, you guys changed it? And
they have to
stand
confused.
There for like 20 minutes like...
I'm sorry. I'm with them. I'm one of those people. I'm so confused.
What's hard about it? It's just noodles.
I like pictures. I like when they...
big pictures.
Like pictures with like simple letters. That's what I want.
It's got like all the calorie counts on it, and everyone's like, I don't understand what these calories mean. Yeah. And I'm like, why is this hard?
No, I actually, the last time I went in there, it didn't seem that difficult to order, so I was...
It's not. But especially because you can do whatever you want. I'm
right.
Just like, okay,
just put stuff in a bowl,
sure.
Man.
Yeah,
I'll eat it. I'm going to throw some sriracha on it anyway, so...
Oh my God. You're like the easiest. There are people that come in that I just...
Very... very light picky eater when it comes to things like that, because I like things just thrown together and then give me a little hot sauce and I'm done. So
fair enough.
Nice.
Yes.
Cool. So all right, so you got a job now, you're back here, you're doing that that whole thing with the vet tech.
Yep.
And you said you wanted to maybe do something like the soap opera episode thing. So are you working with anybody? I mean, what's going on
at the moment, I recently was hired at Comedy City.
Cool.
So I'm working with all those awesome folks down in Comedy City.
And a new venue, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
down,
it looks great. 3600 Broadway.
3600 Broadway, guys. If you haven't heard about that, check it out.
Right next
Comedy
door
City.
To the Uptown Theater.
Yeah.
They say across the street from the Uptown Theater, but the first time I went there, I was looking across the street, not next door.
Mm-hmm.
Across the street,
yeah.
And I was wrong.
Yeah.
So it technically is across a street, but it's next door.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the whole situation over there, you know, it's like, well, it's we'll get a parking lot, maybe it's some better. Things. And but that's great. So you're there.
Yes, yep.
And you're playing.
Yes.
Have you done some shows now?
I had my very first show, I think, last weekend.
Cool. But this is at the old place. They haven't quite moved yet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That was the last show, I believe, at the old place, the one I played in. And now they're getting it, packing it all up.
Yeah. Cool, cool. How'd it feel to be back in that whole thing?
It was fun. I was like, oh, I miss this stage and this place. And we played a lot. Stitch Tactics actually played up there when I was in college and a little bit out of college. We played up there at the 10 o'clock show.
Yeah. I remember I saw some of those.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, when I was dating Havana. Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What do you? Oh yeah, you did that.
I forgot you did that.
Yeah, for a little stint.
Because you were at that party.
Oh, that party. That was a crazy night. I was actually going to use that story in a storytelling piece that I was writing.
Oh God.
Because it's a hilarious story, and I almost lost everything. By everything, I mean my manhood. Oh, but for another time.
Yes.
But for another time. All right. So real quick, I'm going to do something I call a lightning round.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, right? I'm just going to rapid fire questions at you. They're just kind of silly or weird or fun, but whatever. And just kind of go with it. All right? Cool. Let's see. Favorite time of year?
The fall.
The fall?
Yes.
Good. Favorite artist?
What kind of artist?
Paint.
Dolly.
Dolly. Mm-hmm. Oh, good, good. The last time you found yourself confused or bewildered?
Oh, right now?
right now?
I don't know. That's a good question. That's a really good... I don't know if I ever take... Because I just kind of take it as I go, and I'm like, I'm confused. I don't know. I don't care, and I just let it go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my answer.
Cool, cool. What would you have on your tombstone?
I took risks.
I took risks.
I did it. I flew 10,000 miles. That's a risk.
That's a risk? Oh, I couldn't agree more.
20,000 technically.
Yeah. Oh, great. Yeah. What music are you really into right now?
I'm actually really into kind of going back into my nostalgia, like early middle school phase. So I put Franz Ferdinand in the car when I was driving over here. I've been listening to a little bit of NSYNC, not gonna lie.
Good stuff.
Yep, so like just kind of throwing it back to the embarrassing days.
That's okay.
It's fun. It's so fun.
It is, you know? Stay true to your roots.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. how many thread counts do you have to have in your sheets or pillowcases?
I'm soft enough that I can sleep on it. How is that?
That's not a thread count.
I don't know anything about thread counts.
I don't know.
Follow
up question.
Okay.
How do you like your wattage in your light bulbs?
60 watts.
60 watts. That's so simple.
You could say
400 thread count, 60 watts.
I'm sorry.
Last time that you went to an amusement park.
Forever ago. Summer after I graduated high school.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where was it at?
Worlds of Fun.
Worlds of Fun?
Yes.
Love Worlds of Fun. Yep. It's changed a lot now.
Has it? I haven't been.
Oh, man. So it's... I actually think it's better.
Really?
Personally. Like, did they do this whole combined thing? It's really cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I want to go. I've been wanting to go recently.
Yeah. You should go.
I should go.
It's fun.
Yeah.
PC or Mac?
PC.
Oh! This interview is over.
No!
I'm just kidding. Oh, good stuff. Yeah, that's it. That's all I've got for the lightning round.
Cool.
Thanks. Yeah,
that was scary.
Rapid fire. I know, right? Came out of nowhere. Yeah. Awesome. So, what else do you want to do while you're here? Like, you're doing the vet tech stuff, and we talked about, like, maybe, you know, you're doing Comedy City stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Are you with anyone? Are you looking for love? Are you just trying to, like, get through life?
What direction are you headed right now? At the moment, I'm not really looking for anything relationship-wise.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just kind of living my life and...
That's good.
You know, I don't know if I'm quite ready at the moment anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I just want to get through school. Apparently, like, I had orientation this last week, and it's going to be a really intense program. It's going to be classes are going to be fine, but it's from what other people have said who have gone through the class, you're going to need to study at least, you know, X amount of hours a day, like 2 to 4, and have this homework and that project and study groups and just crazy amount of stuff. In addition, we have animals that we're actually learning with that live on campus.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'd have to go in and we're going to be responsible for, the social well-being of a specific animal, and then mm-hmm. they get adopted out at the end of the semester. So we have to, train them and socialize them and all this stuff. So I have to spend time with that animal.
Wow.
And then we have a kennel rotation where we clean all the kennels, and just, it's going to be, I will have no time for anything else anyway.
I love that, though.
Yeah.
You're really putting yourself into it.
Yeah.
Wow.
You go into that field, and if you don't learn with these animals, and you don't learn what you're going to be doing, why would you waste your money on that school?
Yeah.
Waste your time and your money, you know?
Absolutely.
So I'm really looking forward to it.
Cool. So that will then hopefully lead you to what kind of career? I mean, what is it that you really want to put your hands in? Dog butts. I think that's right. Oh, yeah. Just want to get right on that career track.
Yeah. No, I think, veterinary technology, I've realized that I want to work with animals, the end. I've got improv up here, and, dogs and cats are,
Cool.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what I want to do with it, but mm-hmm. I can work in a clinic, I can work in a laboratory, I could work at a zoo, I could work all kinds of places.
I would love to work at a zoo. And I'm not even, an animal person, but I love zoos to no end. I don't know what it is. And I hate that, you have to go to a zoo to see, and you don't get to see them in, their natural environment. But, man, there's something about big cats.
Oh, yes.
I am mesmerized by lions, tigers, leopards.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cheetahs.
Gorgeous. Gorgeous.
Just, let me take you home.
Yeah.
I would rather have a big cat than a little cat any day. You know? I mean, little cats are good. I'd probably... And I love dogs, too.
Yeah.
And so, it's just any of that. Oh, my gosh. I think you should work at a zoo. I'm just throwing it out there. Great.
Hey, well, the Kansas City Zoo does have, vet tech internships and stuff, so...
Do it.
Maybe.
Yeah,
you're unpaid, so maybe.
Yeah. So would you stay here? Or are you willing to travel again?
Oh, I'm absolutely going to travel again.
Yeah?
I think, for the next 2 years, I'll be here maybe, probably
sure.
for a wee while after that. But recently, I took a road trip around the States. That was before I went to New Zealand. So not that
cool.
recently.
Where'd you go?
Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
We saw TJ and Dave.
Love those guys.
The guy I was with, that was my New Zealand boyfriend.
Yeah.
He was he's a theater guy. He doesn't really like improv as much as I like it. And
mm-hmm.
he was kind of I guess I'll go see these guys in Chicago. And he came out of the show he was just blown away.
TJ and Dave is more than improv. They are just... everything about how great acting should be.
Yes.
And it just so happens to be really funny.
Yeah.
Oh my God, those guys are so good.
I was watching their show, and I had been doing improv for 6-7 years at that time, and I was just looking at it okay, is this really improvised? And then there was just a split second where one of them just went... And I was like, yes! And I just lost my shit because it was so great.
Mm-hmm.
There's just that moment of this. They were having so much fun.
Yeah.
And I was so into it. They were so into it. And I was just, ugh! It was just that tension, that release of that tension. I just, oh my God, I loved
yeah.
it. I loved it. And you knew at that moment, they're like, yeah, no, this is improv.
Another one of our guests actually didn't get to do a scene with TJ, but was at I.O., and got to be up on stage with him, and he said he was trying to get into a scene with him, but everybody was trying to get into scene with him. And then I got to hang out with TJ when him and Susan were here for the KC Improv
yeah,
Festival.
Yeah, I took his workshop when
yeah.
he was here.
Yeah, oh my gosh, heard that workshop. I didn't take it, and I really wish I had, but I heard that workshop was the workshop to take.
I was in that workshop, and I was the worst in the class. But
you're still learning, though.
Yeah, no, and I did so many things that TJ was like, all right, here, let me give you a note. And then in the back of my mind, I was like, TJ's giving me a note. I win.
Yeah.
I was so excited. I'm yeah. okay with that.
You
I
want
can
that.
Suck as much as I want, as long, And mm-hmm. I learned a lot of great things.
Yeah, that's so great. Those guys, TJ and Dave, hands down, two of the best improvisers in the world. I mean, just incredible. Yeah, no, that's awesome. Cool. So you went to Chicago. Where else?
Chicago, and then we went to Boston, which I loved.
Mm.
Definitely want to go back to Boston. Mm-hmm. New York City.
Yeah.
Washington, D.C. Went down to New Orleans.
Wow.
It was hot. It was in the middle of June. Oh, mm-hmm. God. But I loved it. And then we took... and this was all on the Greyhound bus, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Get out.
Yeah.
I have a terror of the Greyhound bus. I rode it one time.
That's legitimate.
You know, no, I sat next to a woman who just got out of jail in Mexico.
Whoa.
All the way back from Texas to here. Yeah, like, I thought I was going to get stabbed.
Oh, man.
That's crazy. You did all this on the Greyhound?
Yeah. We sat next to a guy on the way from D.C. to New Orleans, and he was a nice gentleman, and we were on the bus overnight, and it was like a three-person seat. That was like the only seats left on the bus, and I really wanted to sit with my boyfriend, and I was like, I'm not going to sit by people by myself. And so we had to share this three-person seat with this gentleman. He was very, very nice, and then the next morning, he's like, so what church do y'all attend, and are you spiritual, and are you religious, and I don't believe in evolution. And he's just like going on and on and on and on about his personal beliefs, and I'm like, you know, you believe whatever you want, but this is not the time for this conversation.
No.
In a enclosed space.
No.
Where, you know, me and the boyfriend were like, we disagree very much with you. And, you know, I'm just like, okay.
Yeah.
Don't go to church, but I don't want to tell you that because I don't know what you're going to do. It's a little scary. A little scary.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Jesus is back like the McRib.
By popular demand.
All right, well, we're going to wrap things up. The last little bit of this is where you get to ask me questions. Anything at all. You know, you could ask about life, improv, acting, whatever, relationships. I don't care.
Okay.
I'm open as well. So one question, multiple questions. We've got a little bit of time.
Okay, sure. What is your goal as an improviser? What do you want to do?
It's a great question.
I know.
I am really looking forward to just working with other great artists, writing. My real goal right now, if I'm super honest with myself, is to be a joke writer for a late night TV show.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and that's what I've been really working on that. And I've even been given the note of, like, you need to do that. And then I was given the note of, you need to not do that so much where people can steal your jokes.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, interesting. Because I didn't really think about the fact that, you know, like, you put jokes out there and you want to entertain people, but there's other people that want to rip that off and take it and be their own. So.
Yeah, sure.
So, yeah, improv, really, I love it. It's like, the great foundation for everything. And I'm hoping that it leads to a job somewhere where I can do some writing or some producing, maybe even some directing someday. I took some directing classes while I was at KU as well.
Oh, nice. Yeah, yeah.
Loved it. I worked with John Gronbeck Tedesco.
Oh, yeah.
One-on-one. That guy is a genius. Like, at the time, I felt like that he was my Dell.
Uh-huh.
Because I just got to go sit in his office and he would just spout off, like, director notes and things at me and just like, oh, I was like soaking it up. Man, it was my senior year and it was like a senior thing. And
oh, how cool.
Man, it was so great. And he came and watched this little play I directed. And so, yeah. So, yeah, I want improv to help lead me to an actual job where I can, because let's face it, other than, like, if you get to be where Susan Messing is or Jimmy Carain is, you know, like, you can't really do much with improv until you start teaching it.
Yeah.
You know, but
that's okay, though. Well, that's awesome fun, too.
And I would love to do that as well.
Yeah.
Since my teaching career was a big flub.
Oh,
so.
Well, you're gonna find somewhere where nobody knows you and nobody knows that.
Yeah.
And it'll be great.
Yeah, like, that guy's a failed teacher. Let's not let him teach improv.
Oh, we don't know this guy. He looks okay. Yeah. Let's give him a shot.
Bring him in off the street.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. So yeah, that's pretty much what I'm thinking.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yep.
How has improv, like, helped you grow as a person? That's always something, because it helps me so much, but I always want to know kind of how it's affected other people.
That's a really great question. I like that a lot.
Maybe I should do my own podcast.
Yeah. Get on it. But don't steal mine.
Okay. God, I'm sorry.
No, that's awesome. It's, gosh, I used to be such an angry person. Like, I had a terrible temper. I was always just negative. And it turned my whole entire world around. It showed me how to be positive, to accept people, to open my mind to new things, to socialize.
Yeah.
Just to be a human. And I mean that in the most sincere way, because I feel like a lot of humans don't know how to be human these days.
Isn't that weird?
It's very weird to me.
I agree with you.
And I think that we're a very communal being, you know, and having the improv community and having this tribalness to it, it makes it so much more enriching for whenever I am outside of that and I give that back to other people in the world. I love interacting with people. It's what's given me is that ability to just be okay with everything and just roll with the punches and go with it. So
that's awesome. And that's something I love too about the improv community in general,
yeah.
is that everybody has that, you know, we've developed that similar feeling. So everybody's super like friendly and well, like, you know, the people in New Zealand are like, hey, come on, you know, be a part of our group, be our friend. We love you. And that's how most improvisers I've ever met
yeah.
are. And it's such a different thing. Like when you go, like if I go, I went into class, for example, for my orientation, people were just like, nobody was talking. Everybody was really quiet. And I was mm-hmm. like, hey guys. And I'm like, hey.
Yeah.
So it's such a, yeah. You once you get out into the real world, you're like, whoa, how did I become this? Several people in the recent weeks have called me bubbly. I never thought of myself as a bubbly person, but apparently I'm very bubbly.
Yeah. I think take it and run with it.
Okay.
You know?
And then, sure.
Yeah, don't let anybody pop your bubbles.
No. So. I like that. Yeah. I'm going to like put that on a post-it note and put it on my laptop.
With a little cat.
Yes! Yes.
That's so good.
Perfect.
Awesome. Well, Maggie, thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
This has been fantastic.
This is fun.
And it's been great getting to know you. So yeah. Thanks again. And thanks to Dale, as usual, for always helping us out. And thank you to you guys for watching. So we'll see you next time on Getting to Know Your Friends. Bye.